shake your hand. I want that.
Thank you.
I want to hug you, man. Well, great to have family with us this morning, especially on a day like today where we're hanging out for a picnic, and we're going to talk a little bit about family in just a moment. If you're visiting with us, we are going through a series in the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 8. Last week, we read what is known by many as the parable of the sower. We talked about the fact that really the focus of this parable is not really the sower who sows the seed, but really where the seed falls, and it's the hearer, it's those who listen to the seed, which is the word of God, and the soil in which that seed falls on, and the soil represents our hearts. And so Jesus tells the story about the sower who sows the seed, and some of the seed falls on the path where it's really hard, and some falls on rocky soil, and then some falls among thorns and thistles, and then there's some seed that falls on good soil. And so when Jesus tells this story, and he finishes, and the disciples have no clue what he's talking about, which isn't new for the disciples, right? Oftentimes, they just miss the point. So they go to Jesus, and they're like, help us understand what this is about. And Jesus says, well, the seed that's sown is the word of God. He's been talking to them about the good news of the kingdom. And so he says, the seed that's sown is the word of God. Now, the seed that falls on the path, he said, that seed gets snatched up by the birds of the air. And he goes, what that means is there's times where if the soil is hard, he says the devil comes in, snatches that word, that seed away before it really can take any root, before they can respond and be saved. And he goes, that's what the hard soil or the soil on the path is all about. The rocky soil is where the seed falls, and it's just on the top as well. It goes down a little bit, but it really can't take root. And he says when struggles come, when difficulties come, this plant gets, basically, he said, falls away. The people fall away, and they do the same thing. They don't respond. And he says the seed that falls on the thorny soil, that's where the cares and the worries of the world come in, and they choke off the plant. That plant never matures. It doesn't say it falls away, but it never matures. And I had one of the young guys that's in our 20-something group at our 20-something meeting at the end, he said, I feel like that third soil, where the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all this, it's like, I feel like that's where the church is today. Like the majority of the church. Because it doesn't say that they're not saved, those people. It says they never go to maturity. And I was like, you know what? That's probably right. And then Jesus says the fourth soil is the good soil, the good heart, where that seed falls, and it not only goes in, it goes in deeply, where it's then nourished and it remains and roots go down and it produces a crop 100-fold. And we talked last week about how important it is to remain in him, to remain in the word. We went to John 15, abide in him, for his word to be in us and for us to be in him, and how important it is if we really want to see fruit in our lives. Okay, so this background is important. The context is important when we go into this next passage of Scripture. And we often talk about the fact that context really is important when you're reading the Bible. So Jesus says to the disciples, he says, now listen, the secrets of the kingdom have been made known to you. I'm telling you what this means. Not everybody gets this. You guys are interested. You guys are seeking. You want to know. So I'm revealing you to the secrets of the kingdom. I'm telling you what it's all about. Some people who don't really want to hear, basically their ears are closed. Their hearts are hardened. They don't understand. So right after all of this, we read in Luke 8, 16 to 21. No one lights a lamp, then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to the light and made known to all. So, pay attention to how you hear. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, but to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they couldn't get in, couldn't get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to see you. Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we read your word, by your Holy Spirit, you'd give us wisdom, understanding, and insight. Holy Spirit, help us to understand what you want us to understand from this passage, what it means to us, how it applies to our lives. I pray that it would help us to know you more and to share your love with the people around us. So bless our time that we have together. God, just illuminate your word to us. You wrote it, you've given it to us, and you are here with us. So God, help us to understand, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Jesus tells this story about the sower, tells this parable. The disciples don't understand. They ask him to explain it to them. He explains it to them, and he says, now the secrets are made known to you. Now, right after he says that, he's like, you guys have the secrets. You guys have this understanding. Everybody else, there's a lot of people who don't have this understanding. And then he goes right into verse 16, no one lights a lamp, then covers it up with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp's placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that's secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that's concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. So whenever you're reading the Bible, okay, when you're reading a passage in the Bible, you have to look at all the context around it. I say it all the time, but it's so important for us to know you shouldn't just take passages, little snippets of scripture, quote verses without knowing the context. Context really matters, okay? Case in point. Some of you guys know my story. Grew up in a broken home, very dysfunctional home. I've said this before, there was a time where I was in my teens where I found myself many times eating out of a dumpster. True story. And when I say that, that probably evokes different images, thoughts, and emotions in your mind. Now, for context, when I was 19 years old, I was in college, living kind of a crazy college life, I had some friends who worked at this pizza place called Rocky Rococo's. Rocky Rococo's was a pizza place that was kind of unique. They sold fast food pizza, and they would sell it by the slice, and they would put it in a box that was like a McDonald's Big Mac box. And so they had this rule that the box could only stay under the heat lamp for 8 minutes. And after 8 minutes, they would put those boxes to the side. Well, my friends who worked there conveniently would take all of those boxes, and at the end of their shift, they would put them in one single bag, and there'd be anywhere from 30, 40 pieces of pizza. And I knew, me and some of my friends knew, at 10 o'clock, they would take that bag to the dumpster. And so we would go and get that bag from the dumpster, and we would go back to our dorm, and we were like Santa Claus with like 30 pieces of pizza, and it would be just like party time in our dorm, you know, just eating pizza. Yes, it was out of the dumpster. But probably a little different picture than when I say, hey, when I was in my teens, I used to often eat food out of the dumpster. So context is important. Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of you know this verse. You guys have it, probably some of you have it on your wall at home. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That is an awesome verse filled with truth from Scripture, all right? Looks good on your wall, but it almost emanates like sunshine and rainbows when you just see it hanging on the wall. You know, it's like, man, God's got good things in store for you. It's on graduation cards, right? Like everything's gonna be good is what you might take from that verse when you just kind of read it by itself. I know the plans I have for you, it's good. It's not to harm you. It's like you can take that and think, everything's going to be great if you don't understand the context. God's people are in exile in Babylon. They're in captivity because of their disobedience. Look at the context. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. In other words, after 70 terrible years, after 70 years of struggle, I'm going to bring you back. And so, yeah, there's truth in that verse, but that truth can be twisted. Yeah, God does have good plans for you, and he doesn't intend to harm you. But that doesn't mean you're not going to struggle in life, right? So the truth, you know, from the scripture is truth always. If you give that message like, hey, God has nothing but good in store for you, it's all going to be great if you follow Jesus, well, how does that apply to the family that just went through a tragedy? Someone was killed unexpectedly. How does that apply to the one who just got the diagnosis that is really bad from the doctor? No. Jeremiah 29:11 does apply, and it's like, even in the midst of your struggle, even in the worst of times, know this, I am still with you, I love you, I have good plans for you, I am going to see you through. But see, that's a different meaning than if you just snatch it out and throw it on a graduation card. It's like, man, you're going off and it's going to be great and everything's going to be wonderful. So context is really important. So when we come to this passage in Luke 8:16-17, context is very, very important. He tells them, you have been given the secrets to the kingdom. Not everybody has them. Now, you don't take a lamp and put it under a bed. You don't put it under a basket. You put it out there for everyone to see. You've been given this understanding. You've been given this light. Now, share that light with the world, okay? That seems simple. We all get that. It's the next part that I think gets misinterpreted a lot. Verse 17, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to the light and made known to all. Now, I cannot tell you how many preachers and teachers I have heard use this verse to teach something like this. All of your secrets, everything done in darkness, every vile thought or evil deed is one day going to be made known to all. There's going to be a time where all of that is uncovered for all to see. Now, I don't know about you, but that's horrifying to me. I get this picture in heaven, and it's like God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, all the angels, mom and dad, you know, it's like a TIA bank field like situation, you know, everybody's gathered around, and now gets this time of unveiling and uncovering every one of Vic's evil thoughts, actions, and deeds. Everything that's secret is going to be uncovered. So watch it. Watch how you live. I mean, I've heard people, even when I was studying for this, you know, I saw where people would preach this passage like this. You have to look at the context. That is not what God is saying. That is not what this passage means. And we can all breathe a sigh of relief, right? So what does he mean? He says, listen, he's talking to the disciples. You've been given wisdom. You've been given understanding. The secrets of the kingdom have been made known to you. Now, don't take your lamp and put it under a basket. Let it shine for everyone to see. Tell people what you've learned. Tell people what you understand. Because what's secret now is going to be uncovered. The secret that you guys know is going to be unveiled to everyone. You're going to have a part of that as you share the good news of the kingdom with people. And ultimately, everybody's going to see it when I die on the cross, when I'm raised from the dead. It's going to be revealed. What's secret now is going to be made known. And he's telling the disciples, you have a role to play in this. And how does that apply to us? Okay, so here we are today, 2023, sitting in this room. If you're a follower of Jesus, the good news of the gospel of the kingdom has been revealed to you. You know him. You know how people come to know him. You've experienced the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of people out there living in darkness who have no idea. There's a lot of people whose hearts have been hardened. There's a lot of people who've never really heard the truth of the gospel, that God loves them, that Jesus came for them, that he died for them. Listen, for all of us today, you have a light. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't hide it under the bed. The secret that was first given to the apostles of the good news has now been given to all of us, and we have that good news to share with others. Jesus said things like Matthew 8, 12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life. He's the light of the world. The invitation is to follow him, and those who follow him will no longer live in darkness. Matthew's version of the passage we're reading sheds a little bit more light. He expands a little bit on Jesus' teaching here from Luke 8. And he says this, Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Okay, so now he's talking broadly here to the disciples. First, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Okay, now he says, you are the light of the world because you've been given that light and he's no longer here. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So let people see, let them know the truth, let them see the truth in your life as you love people the way that Jesus loved people, as you serve people, as you share the good news of the gospel vocally from your mouth as well as with your deeds. He says, people will see that and ultimately they will praise your heavenly Father. Listen, light can be helpful. Light is very helpful. In a dark room, a little flicker of light. When he says put a lamp under a bushel basket or under bed, at that time it was like this little, it was a little saucer filled with oil, and they had a little wick in there, and they would light that. That was their lantern. But when it's completely dark, just that little light would give a lot of light to a room, I mean, to help you see things that you normally couldn't see, right? And he says, don't cover that up, okay? You need to let that shine for everyone to see. Light can be very helpful, but now, if I have a 3,000-watt floodlight in my hand and I shine that thing right now in your eyes, right? If I just blast you in the face with that light, that can be pretty annoying, right? Like, after a while, you're going to be like, dude, all right, enough, I get it. I've actually used that illustration on a couple Sunday mornings where I've just turned all the lights out and then just bam. And so light can be helpful, but it can also be annoying. You know, there's some people who, like, they got the light and they're going to make sure you know that you don't have light and you're living in darkness. And let me tell you about the light. And I'm gonna tell you about the light and I'm gonna just beat you over the head with the light to the point where this person's going like, all right, stop, enough. Some people, listen, some Christians are annoying. I'm just being honest. There's some people who, like, I mean, when I say Christians, I mean, there's some people who, man, you would think like they have no sin in their life. They just want to tell everybody else about their sin. And it's like, dude, I mean, this is all about following Jesus. How about we act a little bit like Jesus? Like just a little bit. If he called out anyone, it was the religious people. It was the people who were in darkness and they didn't know it, that he had grace and mercy and love for. Okay, so yes, let your light shine. Let them see it. Let them hear it from your mouth. Let them see it in your life. And they will take notice. They will take notice and they will ultimately praise God because they see something different in you. Let your light shine for all to see. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness. If you follow me, it's all about following him. Which means as the people of God, we should love the way that he loved. We should forgive the way that he forgave. We should extend mercy to people who don't really deserve mercy. We should pray for the people who hate us. And when we do that, people will see that, and it will be so different than what they see from the world, they will notice the difference, and ultimately they'll go, there's something different about that person, there's something different about those people, the way they love one another, the way they act, and they might not fully understand it, and then when they find out I'm a follower, you know, you're a follower of Jesus, oh, then they give praise to the Father in heaven, and they start to get it. So verse 18 says, pay attention to how you hear. Those who listen to my teaching, Jesus speaking, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand is going to be taken away from them. In other words, listen up. Pay attention to how you hear. That's an interesting statement, right? Pay attention to how you hear. If you're listening to just take in knowledge, then it's going to be that knowledge, that head knowledge, is not going to be helpful in bringing change to your heart. If you're listening, as the disciples were, to understand truth, to really get it, to understand God, he goes, those people are going to receive more understanding. But those who aren't really listening, as all of the Pharisees and religious leaders that time, he's like, even what little bit they have is going to be taken from them. So Jesus is in the middle of this teaching. He's telling them about the secrets of the kingdom. He's telling them to let their light shine. He's telling them that these secrets are going to be revealed to all people. And then something happens. Okay? Now, if you just read the Bible, sometimes you read, like, again, snippets or passages, it might seem like Jesus is very random, or things are just very random. Even the places where they put headings or page breaks sometimes just seem like, you know, we there's a little break there and it has a subtitle, and you think, oh, this is a whole new thought. And oftentimes it's all connected, and we can easily miss that by chapter changes or subtitles. Jesus is in the middle of the teaching. All of a sudden, someone comes to him and goes, hey, teacher, your brothers and your parents are here. And Jesus responds with this thing like, who is my mother or who are my brothers? They're the ones who listen to my word and obey it. Now, when you first hear that, it might just sound like Jesus is being kind of rude to his parents. Like, it's kind of being rude to the family there. Like, what is Jesus doesn't appreciate family? What's going on here? And to my Catholic brothers and sisters with that background, I just need to let you know, Jesus did have brothers, okay? Half-brothers, okay? He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Mary was a virgin, but she didn't remain a virgin, as the Catholic Church teaches. So she didn't remain a virgin. She didn't remain sinless. So you shouldn't pray to Mary. She has no special place in heaven that way, like no go-between, you know, you and God. She was blessed to be the one who carried the Son of God. And so, yeah, give her honor for that, but that's about as far as it goes. He had brothers, okay? So how is this all connected? Jesus is in the middle of this teaching, just gets done, or he's in the middle of it. They say, hey, your family's here, and they want to see you. And he goes, who's my family? Those who listen to the word and obey it, these are the ones who are my brothers and sisters. So it's not some random event that just happens and Luke records it. This is actually like the punctuation on everything Jesus has been teaching. It's like the exclamation point, because all he's been talking about starts off with a sower who sows the seed. The seed is the word of God. What happens when the word of God is sown? What's the heart of the listener? Does that person receive it? Do they bear fruit? If they do they let that shine? It's all about what happens to the listener. Do they let it shine before other people? And then he ends it by saying, now listen, because he keeps saying, it's those who listen and understand. And he goes, the ones who are my brothers and my sisters and my real family, they're the ones who hear the word and obey it. That's my family. And it's like he just kind of puts a bow on this whole thing. Because the next sentence is like, on another day, Jesus was doing this. Okay, so this is all kind of brings it to a head and to a close. And so, a couple things here, and I'm going to wrap up real shortly. Those who are my brothers and sisters are the ones who hear the word and obey it. How does a person become a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Is he saying that those who are my family, those who are saved, those who are adopted into the family of God as my brothers and sisters are the ones who obey? Because that's what he says, right? Like, it's like, so it's about obedience? Is it about how good I am? Well, you have to look again at the whole of Scripture, and that would contradict what Scripture says. So what does Jesus mean here? He means those who truly get it, those who have believed, those who understand, those are the ones who are my family, and it will be shown by their obedience. John 1:10-13, he, speaking of Jesus, came into the very world he created, okay? He was there in the beginning. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who did what? Believed him accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. In order to become a child of God, believe in Jesus, accept what he's done. It's very clear there. So when Jesus says, who's my brother, who are my sisters? It's the ones who hear and the ones who obey. Someone who knows Jesus, who've really surrendered to Jesus, they will follow him. The command he gave us was to go and make disciples. What's a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus. The invitation that he gave to the disciples, follow me. The invitation after that, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what it means. And so he's just simply saying, the ones who truly are a part of the family, you'll know it because their lives will be changed and they will show it in the way they live, in the way they act. They will let that light shine before other people. People will be attracted to it. They will see something different. The people of God should be different. And as I bring things to a close this morning, that's the question before all of us. Are we different? Are we different? Are we different from the world? And are we different in a good way? Are we different in an attractive way? Not in a weird way, okay? Now, sometimes there's things that we do as followers of Jesus that are different, and some people might think are weird, okay? But some people are just weird, all right? Don't be one of those people, all right? I mean, don't be weird for weird's sake. You know, if it puts you at odds with the kingdom of this world, that's one thing. So the question before us is, are we different? John 13, Jesus said, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you'll search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. Now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Listen. Family loves family. And if you're a believer in Jesus, he says you're a brother or sister of his, which means that all of those who believe are then siblings, we're brothers and sisters to one another. And that's real, okay? As real as your earthly family. I mean, I'm connected to my earthly family by blood, but I'm closer to some of you than I am to my brothers, my earthly blood brothers. That's just reality. Because we live in two different worlds. I mean, we just do. When we had kids, I had no one to look to for guidance on what it meant to be a godly father, to be godly parents. I just didn't have any relatives or anyone in my family that I could look to. Everybody had been divorced at least once, most multiple times. And so it was my older brothers in Christ who I went to understand and be a part of their lives and see how they love their kids and how they lived with their kids. And so family is important, and spiritual family is important. Now, I do want to say a little warning here, because you have some churches that are so heavy on this, it does get kind of weird. Like, hey, this is your spiritual family, forsake your earthly family. If they don't know Jesus, you know, like, cut out. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying know that spiritual family is real, and sometimes that brother and sister relationship runs deeper than blood. It just does. I mean, the reality is, if my brother doesn't come to know Jesus before he breathes his last breath on this earth, we're not going to spend eternity together. I mean, that's just reality from the Word of God. It breaks my heart. I pray for him, but that's reality. If you know Jesus, we're going to spend eternity together. We're going to be together. And we're on mission together here and now. And part of that mission is to share that love with people out there. And Jesus goes, the way that they are going to know that you're mine is the way that you love one another. And so that's why I ask the question, how well are we loving one another? How well are you loving your brothers and sisters? Not just the ones in this room. The ones who think differently than you do. The ones who are maybe from a different denomination that do things different than we do. The ones who hold to some different theological viewpoints that aren't necessarily essential to our salvation. those who hold to different political thoughts than you do, those who look different than you do, those who act different from you, if we are in Christ, are we loving the way that God called us to love one another? Because that love is going to show the world that we're His. And I'm not talking about compromising truth in any way. I'm just talking about loving as Jesus has loved us. Levi, you guys can come back up. Discipleship takes place in the context of relationship. We need one another. The world is in darkness. It needs to see the light. It needs to understand the light. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have that light to share. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to share it. And I want to challenge you to get to know one another. And again, it doesn't have to be people in this room, but we need believers in our lives to encourage us, to challenge us, to spur one another on, to help us as we follow Jesus and look to share His love with the world around us. So in just a few minutes, I hope you guys will hang around after we're done, and we're going to go, and we're going to share some food, and we're going to have a picnic over there, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to give you the Emmaus Picnic Challenge, okay? You ready for it? It's pretty easy. First of all, first one is stay, okay? Stay and show up, all right? Just stay for the picnic. Second one, another real easy one, put on a name tag. Put on a name tag. Some of you have one on right now. Put on a name tag so it makes it easy for people to talk to you, to know your name, all right? Third one, again, pretty easy. Talk to three people that you do not know. Meet three people that you do not know, find out something unique about them or find out something distinct about them as you're over there. See, because what happens is, especially like sometimes in a crowd like this, you assume, man, that person, everybody knows somebody. Everybody doesn't know somebody. And if you think, you know, just because you're new, then everybody's obligated to come and talk to you. Well, a lot of people don't know you're new, right? And so we all need to get out of our comfort zone and meet people and share. And in other churches you might be in, there's this large staff that's going to be roaming around, and they're just going to be greeting everybody. Why? Because they're paid to do that. All right? We don't have that here. All right? This is about a family. This is about a body of believers who should know one another and love one another. So please stay. Please share some food with us. Please hang out. Put a name tag on. Man, even if you're the worst, like the most introverted person in the world, break out of your shell, meet three people, see what God does. Beyond that, after we leave this place and leave out there, let's not forget, if you know Jesus, you have a light to shine and to share with the world, and the world is living in darkness and needs that light. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. My hope is that somehow you just give us a little bit deeper understanding of what it means to know you, the obligation that we have to share your love and your light with the world around us. And Lord, I know that that happens in many different ways. Sometimes it's just sharing the first time you meet somebody, but oftentimes it's in relationship. Oftentimes it's sharing just as you love somebody. And we don't even think they're listening. There's people in this room who've been praying for people, who've been sharing with people, and they don't see any change, and they don't even think that they're listening. But God, they are. And you're at work in those people's hearts. And it's not our job to save anyone. It's our job to shine light. It's our job to share truth. And then you, by your Spirit, you change hearts. And it's in a moment's of time where you just come, where there, maybe there's a struggle, there's something that happens, and then they come running to the person who they trust. They come running to that light, and we don't even expect it. God, I pray that you'd help us to see ourselves as significant in your plan in reaching this world. And I pray that you'd bless our time of fellowship as we leave this place and walk across the parking lot and share some food. Holy Spirit, would you make connections that only you can make? And God, as we do that, would we just see your goodness all around us? Because you are good, and we thank you for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this last song. If you would stand with me. Sing this last song. worship together.